This is the 392nd episode of the Bowtie Chronicles podcast, the podcast from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution that gives you everything you need to know about the Atlanta Falcons. I'm D. Orlando Ledbetter, the Falcons beat writer for the AJC. The title of today's show is How the Falcons Free Agency Pieces Fit. We're going to hear from some of the new players and cornerback A.J. Terrell and cornerback Casey Hayward on the secondary's new big addition. If you are listening to us for the first time, please make sure to follow the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Bowtie Chronicles from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
One of the Falcons' big pickups was defensive tackle David Onyemata. Here he is on why guys like playing for new defensive coordinator Ryan Nielsen.
The numbers speak for itself. You know, like if you go check on his resume, you see that, and I feel like for players like Kaden as well, you know, just getting the opportunity to still get to learn from such a coach and such a person, that I think that helps in the long term. That helps in the long term of a person's career, and it just helps in getting your game way better. Because I, as a player, I'm still learning. I've been with him for 6 years. I'm still learning things, you know, like we're still evolving. So that's it.
Onyemata comes over from the Saints, and he discusses on what it's going to be like getting to play alongside Grady Jarrett and not having to go up against Falcons guard Chris Lindstrom.
Hey, it's great, you know, a player like Grady and such the career he's put together to this day, you know, like that speaks for itself, and Chris as well. I got to play him a couple times, played him last year, and you just tell like he's a player who's, you know, over the years got better and just been playing at a high level, you know, like last year, the season he put together, he locked it down, you know, so that getting to practice with them guys, a practice against Chris on a daily, that I think that would be great as well.
All right. Those guys have battled in the trenches, and he remembers those battles. Let's go on to Jesse Bates, the safety who's coming over from the Cincinnati Bengals. He was heavily recruited by his future teammates, A.J. Terrell, Casey Hayward, and Kyle Pitts. They're all represented by one of the agents, David Mulligetta. And here's what Jesse Bates had to say if his new teammates recruited him a few weeks ago.
Yeah, you can say something like that. I think A.J., and Kyle and, you know, Casey did a really good job of recruiting me. I thought that just getting around those guys, just getting around the city, you know, obviously we got the same agent as well. So just getting around those guys and, you know, asking some questions about the team and about the city and stuff like that. And just, like I said, catching up, we got the same agent. So it's always love from that instance as well.
Well, all right, Jesse Bates, you know, he was a free safety for the Bengals, developed there, came out of Wake Forest. You know, you could watch his video, see him making his way to the ball from sideline to sideline, see him dropping down and putting hits on running backs, all the things that you know, really helps the back end of the defense. Here's what Jesse had to say on how the Falcons will use him defensively.
I think at, you know, freshly just turned 26, being able to have the experience that I have to be able to elevate the room. I think we already have some really good players in that room. But like I said, I remember when I was going into my year three, just out there playing football, playing some good football, but there's always another level that you can tap into. And hopefully I'll be able to bring that out of Richie, you know, AJ and those guys, and they'll do the same for me. So, like I said, it's, you know, very exciting to be here. And I think that my role is going to be a leader, someone that has experienced postseason, has experienced the bad, has experienced the good. So I've had a little bit of it all. At, you know, just 5 years into it, at 26 years old, I'll have a lot of, you know, wisdom and stuff to talk about to the guys in the locker room.
No question about it. One of the, you know, takeaways from the free agency period was that the Falcons were trying to, what I call, add a backbone to this defense. They added right up the middle of the defense with Oyemata up front, Caden Ellis at the linebacker, and then Jesse Bates at the safety spot. You want to be strong right up the middle. All you had was Grady Jarrett. Rashad Evans hasn't been re-signed yet. Troy Edwards is there. You got to have somebody with him. Caden has moved around and done, you know, a lot of different things for Coach Nielsen. So, but you got to have a backbone. You got to be able to control that middle of the field. And that's what they were doing in free agency here. So we wanted to know from Jesse Bates on what it meant to be coming in with David and Caden.
Yeah, I think it looks really good. You know, the guys that come in, the new guys usually get a lot of attention, but I think you look at what's already here and being able to add on pieces and pieces that, you know, complement each other. It's going to be really fun to do. Like I said, I haven't been able to play with Caden or David, but one thing Caden did say, he loved playing behind David. He loved playing behind David, and being able to line up against him and with him is something that I think is pretty cool once you hear it from, you know, peers, from player to player, instead of, you know, coaches can tell you, you know, this guy's a great guy. But once you hear it from, you know, the guys that you go to war with every Sunday, in between those lines, I think it holds a lot of weight for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. Caden Ellis, son of Luther Ellis, former first round pick. He was interesting. It was getting good getting to know a little bit more about him. He played defensive end because he had high pass rush numbers for a linebacker. And I was like, hey, where's this coming from? He had 7 sacks and 10 quarterback hits. And, you know, he was Pete Warner and Demarius Davis's backup at the mic and the wheel. But because he played defensive end in college at Idaho, he knows how to rush the passer. So, you know, he said we would scramble up. You know, I might be in the A-gap, I might be in the B-gap, might be at defensive end. But, you know, Coach Ryan Nielsen mixed it up, him and Coach Dennis Allen, with their third down package. Clearly, you know, benefited him to get him free. So, he's got some pass rush to him that you really would not suspect from the linebacker spot. So looks like probably more a Will than a Mike to me, but we'll see how Coach Nielsen tries to use him. Here's Caden Ellis on the free agent process and joining the Falcons.
Honestly, the tampering period started on Monday, and it, you know, kind of started slow. My agent didn't give us a call for a while, and then come to find out it was just because he was on the phone all day, so we weren't able to talk for a while. And then all of a sudden he basically told us how Atlanta came out and how, in his opinion, it was the spot for us to go. And that was already where kind of I wanted to go. So I was excited as soon as the deal and the time frame and just everything came together. I was really excited.
Yep. And Ellis, you know, we wanted to know, kind of obvious question, but we had to ask it, on if Ryan Nielsen was a factor in him coming to Atlanta.
Yes, it was a factor. You know, scheme was big for me because of the versatility I've put on tape. I didn't really want to go somewhere where I'd be put into a box where I don't get to do the multiple things that I think allow me to impact the game in a more dominant way. So knowing that I was going to get to go with Coach Nielsen and knowing how he has coached defense, how he has coached me personally also these last 4 years was a huge factor in the fact that, you know, as long as the contract worked out and as long as Atlanta showed that they were serious about pursuing me, that I would be very excited to go and to pair up with him again.
Right. And Ellis's production, you know, was one of the things that jumped off the stat. He didn't start his first 3 years. He was hurt early on, overcame that, stayed ready. And last year when Pete Warner went down, he got a shot. So 1 year starter for the most part. But here is Caden Ellis on if his production came mostly from DN or linebacker.
DA and Nielsen, and you know the way they over there put together a third down package was unique in that we all kind of got up on the line, you know, three linemen, two linebackers, sometimes you know, two DBs at the same time, all of us up there. And at the end of the day, the defense didn't know where we were going to line, or the offense didn't know where we were going to line up that week, how we were going to line up, and it changed play by play. So you know what? Some of the snaps may have logged me in defensive end. Some of them I may have been at a linebacker mugged up in the B gap. A few I was probably off ball. So at the end of the day, it kind of came from multiple positions. That's one of the things that, you know, I liked about Coach Nielsen is how he has that history and his background and how he helped put together the third down plan over there and, you know, kind of orchestrate a lot of that. So I was excited to follow him and work with him in this.
Yeah, no doubt. Caden Ellis, integral part of this free agency class. We do have the Q&As from all of their full interviews on AJC.com, so you can go read more about Jesse Bates, Caden Ellis, Tyler Heineke, and then Mikey Hughes, who was signed yesterday. The DA he refers to there at the start was Dennis Allen. He was the head coach of the Saints and their defensive coordinator until he took over for Sean Payton as the head coach. So DA is Dennis Allen, former Dan Reeves' assistant, dad, former Atlanta Falcon. So let's move on to quarterback Taylor Heineke. We discussed with him on the free agent process and signing with the Falcons.
Yeah, so this whole process has been very new to me. This is the first time I was really a free agent where I can kind of explore my options. So it's been a very roller coaster of a process. You know, there's lots of ups and downs. And Atlanta said they were interested from the beginning. I didn't know how interested they were, but there was some interest there. And honestly, I was about to sign back with Washington about 2 or 3 days ago, and Atlanta comes in with a better offer. And I sat back and thought about it. And, you know, my family's from around here. I'm from around here. You know, my little nephew's going to be able to come see me at training camp and go to the game. So, you know, that was a big part of it. And I'm just happy to be home you know, do that for my family.
Yep, Taylor played at Collins Hill High out in Gwinnett. His dad's from Wisconsin. He grew up as a big Green Bay Packer fan. Thusly, he wore number 4. He won't get number 4 here in Atlanta. That's Ritter's number. But my guys, I was dropping the car off today, and, you know, they know me, and they were like, hey, you know, how's it going? How are they doing in free agency? I said, I think you're doing pretty good. And one of the gentlemen was sitting there waiting. He's like, hey, the backup's better than the starter. I was like, okay. I was like, oh, Taylor, huh? You like him? He's like, yeah, the one that came over from the Commander. So he's already got some fans out in the ATL. But here is Taylor Heineke on one of his first starts in the NFL was against the Falcons with the Panthers.
I don't know. That was a tough game because I remember Grady Jarrett. He sacked me early in the first half, and I tried to brace myself and ended up tearing my tricep. And, you know, I thought that might have been my last game I ever played. So I remember just hounding the trainer saying, hey, give me everything you got. Put a brace on my arm. I'm getting back out there and playing. And, yeah, the stats might look all right, but also threw 3 picks and we got beat. So that was a tough day.
All right. He threw for 300 yards. I was trying to give him some credit, but he wasn't taking it on that one. I mean, after that game, I was like, oh, he can play. I knew beforehand of the 730-yard game that he threw at Old Dominion against New Hampshire. One of my buddy's son played cornerback that day. And he, you know, it's like, hey, yeah, this guy's legit. And turns out little Steve was right. Stevie Timms from New Hampshire, currently coaching up at Georgetown in D.C. Now, here is Tyler on growing up as a Brett Favre fan.
So, yeah, my dad was born in Wisconsin. So when I was born, I was automatically a cheesehead and grew up watching Brett Favre. And that's how I fell in love with the game. He had a lot of fun out there, lots of passion for the game. And that's what made me fall in love with it. So I've been trying to emulate him my whole life. And, yeah, you know, my mom, my sister, they're all going to be Falcons fans. And it's a very special moment.
All right. We're looking forward to meeting him in person. Big following in D.C. Lots of good things that folks have had to say about Taylor Heineke. And we'll look forward to meeting him and see how he does here with the Atlanta Falcons. So right now we're going to take a break. This is the Bowtie Chronicles from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
In Atlanta, one voice has stood out for over four decades. An AJC original, The Monica Pearson Show.
Let's talk about how you got to ESPN.
Revealing interviews.
You are known as America's doctor, but I want to know who you were before that.
When you have a different name, you have different color skin, it can be tough.
With Atlanta's most famous faces as you've never seen them before.
I'm telling my story. This is the American dream.
The Monica Pearson Show, streaming now on AJC.com.
The AJC's trusted veteran political voices, Greg Bluestein, Patricia Murphy, Tia Mitchell, and Bill Nigut, are the essential source for Georgia politics. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution's Politically Georgia. Sign up for the newsletter, download the podcast, subscribe to the AJC.
Welcome back to the Bowtie Chronicles podcast from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. I want to take this time again to thank everyone who subscribes to the AJC and AJC.com. It's what makes all of this possible. Now, if you haven't joined our community yet, we have a special deal available right now for listeners to this podcast. You can get unlimited digital access to everything the AJC has to offer for the next 6 months for just 99 cents. That's all of our stories on AJC.com, our terrific e-paper, and all of our newsletters, including Bradley's Buzz, from legendary columnist Mark Bradley. That's just 99 cents for the next 6 months. So to take advantage of this offer, go to subscribe.ajc.com/podcast. Once again, that's subscribe.ajc.com/podcast. So you will always know what's really going on. All right, now, over the weekend, we were able to get out to the A.J. Terrell Relays. Had over 1,000 kids running at Westlake High. And one of them was Dwight Phillips Jr., the Olympian son. He blew out the 110.29s in a win at it, 10.29. Just pulled away Georgia signee running back. We got to chat with him. It's a video up on AJC.com of Phillips. He's a very humble young kid, junior at Pebblebrook High, committed to the Bulldogs. AJ was like, he was just a junior. We can flip him. So I don't know if the Clemson people were going after little Dwight. But, you know, we talked to AJ, and we talked about his track meet, and but wanted to know how Jesse Bates fits in the secondary. And then we also caught up with Casey Hayward, who's there. He's recovering from his pectoral muscle surgery. Expects to be ready to go by OTAs and definitely by, he said camp. I don't know if he meant mini camp or training camp, so I kind of left it vague. And then Javonte Moffitt, one of my favorite locker room guys. He played at Middle Tennessee State behind Kevin Bayard, spent some time with him in Tennessee. He's a kid to watch that might, you know, have a breakthrough, on the roster. He was up for a couple games last year, three games, and then had a calf injury late. So let's hear from AJ, Casey, and Moffitt from the AJ Terrell Relays. What do you got to say about the 1,000 kids out here at the track meet? AJ Terrell Relays.
Yeah, you know, it's a big meet. Just something that, you know, like I said, just giving back any way possible, showing face, and I'm just happy that it's a different setting, not just with football, but also with track. Also just, you know, just thankful. And it's a big event. I'm just happy to be here.
And what are you hoping some of the takeaways are for the student athlete today? I saw that one kid from Pebble Brook that's going to Georgia. He was
I just found out about that. You know, he
Campbell.
I think he's a junior. I think he's a junior.
But Dwight Phillips.
Yep. It's big. You know, I advise, you know, definitely all athletes, it ain't got to be a football athlete, just all athletes in general to, you know, to run track and keep their endurance and everything the right way. And I feel like for me to, you know, have my own track event, and I'm not a pro athlete in track, I'm in football instead, it just goes to show that, you know, track opens, you know, a lot of doors, and and make sure that you keep your endurance, your speed, and everything intact for the combine. For on the big stage, you know, you won't be a rookie to learning how to run. You'll be a pro, so you'll be ready.
Hey, and I talked to Jesse the other day. He said y'all did a good job recruiting.
Yep. We definitely real happy to have Jesse on board, and you know, can't wait to see what come with it. I know he, you know, had a good run with the Cincinnati, and just happy he gonna be with me in the A now. So can't wait to get to work with him.
Yeah, and just any thoughts on the new defensive coordinator? I know, how y'all look. I guess that'll get going here a little bit later.
Yeah, I'm behind 100% what we got going on, and I'm just ready to get to work, ready to get in the playbook, and go out and practice, and you know, put things in motion.
How does Jesse make you all better?
All around, you know, just he got, you know, got all the accolades and everything. He got the experience, and you know, just adding more depth to the secondary, and somebody that I could just, you know, learn from and play with. So I'm happy.
How big is this to see this many kids out here participating in AJ's event?
Oh man, it's pretty dope. They look like a college track.
Uh-huh.
they got a lot of people in the stands, man. A lot of schools. So it's kind of dope that, you know, he's doing this because he's a football player. But you also know how important, you know, other sports are for football players. And I always tell football players, while you're in high school, man, please run track.
Mm-hmm.
Please run track. It'll help you out in football. And I'm pretty sure that's a thing that helped AJ out while he was in high school, and also helped me out when I was in high school.
What were your events in high school?
I did a 1-2 triple jump, long jump, and both relays.
That's a full day.
Oh, man, full day, man.
Yeah. And what do you say to the kids who are out here competing, how track and field can help them with, you know, maybe their discipline in this classroom and help them athletically also?
Man, I think it's definitely important, man. Like I said earlier, I always tell my little cousins, all my people back home, like, hey, man, you got to get on the track. Get on the track. Get on the track. It's going to help you out. It's going to help you out in literally every sport, from jumping to running. You know, obviously you want to be as fast as you can on the football field. And I remember my sophomore year, my first year that I actually ran, my next year going into my junior year, I was lights out, 10 times better than I was the year before, because I was so much faster. I had better mechanics. Nobody would catch me when I break, all different type of things. So that's a thing I would tell a lot of these kids, to run track.
Mm-hmm. And how are you doing health-wise after last year? Was that a pec surgery?
Yeah, pec surgery. But I'm doing good, man. Again, a lot better. You know, hopefully, you know, by OTAs and camp, I'll be 100%. But I'm getting there. Everything is going in the right direction.
And you know, last year, everything was looking good, and you got hurt, and
Graham went down, and you know, how are y'all hoping to put things back together for the new defense, new defensive coordinator?
Yeah, man. At the time, I thought I was playing, you know, some solid ball, some really good ball at the time. But obviously, it's a new year, so. So far, the team is doing a good job in free agency signing some key pieces. So hopefully, as a team, as a defense, we can be a lot better than what we were. We got a new DC and a lot of new things going on. So hopefully, you know, that thing turns out to go in the right direction for us.
Yeah, we talked to Jesse the other day. He said y'all did a good job recruiting him.
yeah, Jesse, that's my guy, man. We actually got the same agent. Uh-huh. Before he signed, we probably seen him like a month before that. Mm-hmm. We definitely were trying to recruit him. it worked, so man, we happy to have him here. He's one of the top safeties in this league, and to have him on your team, it actually gonna make your team and your defense a lot better.
How's this track meet for AJ and seeing such a big community turnout for him?
Man, it's actually impressive. It's my first time just coming to a player hosted track meet, so. It's good to see the kids out, the talent that's out here, and I think it's good for his name and surrounding, you know, his community.
Yeah, and, you know, did you run track in high school? And what are some of the benefits that, you know, the kids can get from running track from a football player perspective?
Yeah, I mean, I personally played baseball during the spring, okay, so yeah. Mm-hmm. I did a lot of AAU, but, I mean, track, you know, I think it translates to all sports, you know, as far as, you know, helping speed, endurance, or whatever that has to do with conditioning. So, track all around is beneficial for any type of athlete.
And as far as you with the team, how big of off season is it for you? I know they, sign you and got you up a little bit. Then you had an injury, I believe.
Yeah, sir. I just had, like, a little minor setback at the end of the season. But, you know, right now I'm just, you know, preparing to get healthy and, you know, doing what I need to do for our conditioning, making sure I come in the season, doing what I need to do for the team, help us be successful.
Getting Jesse Bates for the secondary, what are some of the things he might bring to it? And at your position, now that you got to compete with the rest of the guys now?
Man, I feel like it's going to be, honestly, I think it'll be really good, you know, add another, you know, vet in the room with Casey. Mm-hmm. So just, you know, the more knowledge in the room, it can help the other guys. So I think it's going to be very beneficial for the whole room and the team as well.
All right. I know it's been busy for you guys because it's been busy for us here, too. And we got the pro day still. We are in March. We got the owners meeting next week. So we'll hear from Coach Arthur Smith on Tuesday morning from Phoenix. Roger Goodell Tuesday afternoon. We'll pick out an AFC coach. You know, I'm thinking Jets because all the Aaron Rodgers stuff's going on. Or Titans is always a good one because Vrabel and Coach Smith are tight. But, yeah, so we'll do an AFC on Monday, Coach Smith on Tuesday, Goodell on Tuesday, and then we'll see if Arthur Blank's going to be available at some point, too, out there in Phoenix for our coverage next week. So look forward to that. But let's keep track of the free agency period. And we have this. I need to put it in a single file, but it's on the bottom of the Mike Hughes story because that was the last one there. But it's our Falcons free agency tracker. It's an easy way to keep track of the moves. Extended Chris Lindstrom and Caleb McGarry. I don't have to do the numbers. Y'all know him. 5 years, 105. 3 years, 34.5. Trade Jonnu Smith from the Patriots for a seventh round pick. It's basically Dean Marlowe for a tight end that's going to, you know, maybe help the offense. The new free agents, Jesse Bates, David Oyemata, Caden Ellis, Taylor Heineke, and then linebacker Tay Davis. All right, and Mac Hollis, wide receiver. My guys played with his dad, Rich Hollins, at West Virginia. Jonathan Hollifield, former Cincinnati Bengal, and Gary Blue Mullins, Detroit Wheels legend in the Arena Football League. They His dad, Rich Hollins, and Blue split time up at West Virginia for the Mounties. My buddy Hollifield was tailback. All right. So he was like, let Mac know that we played with his dad. Returning Falcons, Bradley Pinion got a nice 3-year, 865, 8.5. $6.5 million. Fullback Keith Smith resigned. Lorenzo Carter, 2 years, $9 million. Long snapper Liam McCollum. Tight end Parker Hesse. And then cornerback Cornell Armstrong. Cornell, who finished the season as the starting right cornerback. So Casey was out. Darren Hall couldn't hold it down. And Cornell Armstrong, they really like him. He, former draftee of the Dolphins and kind of came up the hard side of the NFL, but they like him here in Atlanta right now. Lost players, Isaiah Oliver moved on to the 49ers. Mike Ford, special teamer, moved on to the Browns. Now, here are the Falcons that are still available, and some could return. It's just they're probably it was described to me some guys are letting the market hit them in the face. And, you know, they thought they were going to get the free agency and there was going to be a lot of teams and a lot of money coming their way. And now that they're not, you know, they might have to come back at, you know, a reduced deal and so forth. So that's called letting the market hit them in the face, you know, and they blame the agents on it. That's like the agents have been overselling these guys. And then that's why so many players switch agents, because the agents overpromise. And so we're seeing some of that here. And then the other part is, hey, you know, you're trying to make your roster better. You know, these guys were on a 7-10 team. So that might explain why they're still available. And our still available list is kind of long. And we're going to go through it and get on out of here today. Rashawn Evans, linebacker. Alamide Sakias, wide receiver. Eric Harris, safety. Damir Bird, receiver. Jermaine Ifedi, might have been his last stop. Tackle. Anthony Firkser, tight end. Elijah Wilkerson, who started last year. Vincent Taylor. Bo Brinkley, Vincent Taylor, defensive tackle. Bo Brinkley, long snapper. Carterell Hodge, a little surprised here. He still may make it back. Big time 300-play special teams guy. 259 exactly. Nick Kawakowski, McCole Pruitt, a little surprised here. He was very productive down the stretch. Jalen Johnson, defensive tackle. Kobe Gassett, guard. Matt Dickerson, DN. Chuma Adoga, guard, tackle. USC, McEachern High, and Rashad Fenton. So that's our podcast for this week, and our title was How the Falcons Free Agency Pieces Fit. I think we did a good job of covering that. You got Oyamata up front. You got Ellis, a kind of search and destroy linebacker. Jesse Bates, a kind of search and destroy safety. You got your backup quarterback who started in the NFL, who started a playoff game. Something happens to Ridder, he can go in there. Ridder goes off the rails, he can go in there. He's done it for Washington for, you know, last 3 years. Alex Smith, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Carson Wentz. So he's ready to go if you need him. And that's a good pickup. And then A.J. Terrell and Casey Hayward and Javonte Moffitt stopped by. And we gave you the whole free agency tracker here at the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. So with that, we're going to get out of here, and we'll be back next week from the owners meeting in Phoenix. We'll hear from Coach Arthur Smith, who has not talked since the end of the season. So we'll get his thoughts on free agency. We'll try to get a mailbag going so y'all could give me some questions to ask him before or, you know, or during the show next week. But, yeah, it's, you know, it's the off season, but it's not off. We're still rolling right here on the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. We got March here. We get past this owners meeting, and then we'll start. We've already started, but we'll plan out our position by position coverage. Gabe Burns is going to Florida's Pro Day for Anthony Richardson. We're looking forward to that. It's going to be busy for our football people here at the Bowtie Chronicles podcast and on AJC.com. We thank you for subscribing, and we appreciate all of the listeners, and we hope you take advantage of that special deal and special offer we have for you. So with that, we're going to ask you to take care of yourself and have a great rest of your week.
Hip-hop is a product of black people. It's a product of black song and celebration.
The Atlanta Journal-Constitution presents
hip-hop's most pulled elements are pulled from the South.
A Southern hip-hop story.
We always go back to that moment of the Source Awards.
Everybody wants your rhythm, but they don't want your blues.
The biggest names in hip-hop.
Atlanta is still the mecca for hip-hop.
50 years.
No one can deny.
One film.
The power of the South now.
The South got something to say. Streaming now at ajc.com/hip-hop.
I'm Ernie Suggs, race and culture reporter for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
And I'm Ned Ravone, lifestyle columnist. Atlanta has been known as the Black Mecca for so many years, but that means something different to everybody.
It means everything to me. I've been living here for 24 years, and I am still amazed at how rich the city's Black culture continues to grow. Every day I wake up, I learn something new.
Well, you all can learn something new by subscribing to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution's new newsletter called Unapologetically ATL. It's all about the people, the events, and the entertainment happening in Metro Atlanta that Black people might want to know about.
Like historically Black colleges and universities.
Atlanta's thriving art scene.
And the city's growing neighborhoods.
Wherever you live, we want to hear from you. We want to hear what issues are important to you.
So subscribe today at www.ajc.com/unapologeticallyATL.
Only from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.